right. I don't know if you've been taking notes, but we've been talking about having a powerful prayer life. And even if we already have a good prayer life, still building upon that prayer life and helping our prayer life to even become more powerful, because obviously prayer is a relationship with a living God. Prayer is not just something we do. It's not a magic formula. It's not abracadabra, get what you want. It's not rubbing a genie's lamp, anything like that, but it's talking to the living God, the only living God, who wants to have a relationship with each of his children. And we were talking last week just about the different foundations of a prayer life. And again, we do want to have a desire to have a deeper walk with God, and to have a deeper walk with God is to develop a more powerful prayer life. And there's three foundations. We talked about two of them last week. The first foundation was the fact that we must view our daily prayer time as a relationship with God and not as duty. It's not a duty. It's a privilege that God's given us access to him through prayer. And it is to be viewed that way, that it is a relationship that we want to keep intact, a relationship that we want to grow, a relationship where we just spend more time with the Lord, the beginning of the day, throughout the day, at the end of the day. The second foundation was the fact that we must make an absolute commitment to spending more time with God in prayer, and really spend more time in uninterrupted prayer. And we looked at some verses last week where Jesus himself would go, and he would rise up early in the morning. He would go into a solitary place away from everybody to spend some time with the Lord. He even spent some time in prayer all night, because he was going to choose those 12 disciples that he would teach the ministry to. And obviously one of them would be the one to betray Christ. But again, he gives us that example that we are to spend time in prayer when we're making decisions in life, because we need God's direction. We need God's wisdom. And the third foundation of a powerful prayer life is it must be biblically balanced. Our prayer life must be biblically balanced. It must be biblically balanced, obviously, on the scriptures. And there are five types of prayers that I want us to kind of go through. Probably won't get through all of them today, but there are five types of prayers. I want you to look at Matthew 11 to start with. Matthew 11. Oh, that's not right. Well, I did it again. I wrote down the wrong verse. All right, we'll just jump right into the different prayer types. Again, there's five different prayer types that we're going to go over, all right? Because again, our prayer life really has to be centered around Scripture, biblically centered around Scripture. The first prayer type that we're going to look at is a praise, thanksgiving, and worshiping. Praise, thanksgiving, and worshiping is the first type of prayer. The second type is confession and repentance. Confession and repentance. And the third type is petition and supplication. We're petitioning the Lord for something. The fourth type is intercession. We're praying on the behalf of somebody else. And the fifth type is meditation. Meditation is a form of prayer. And we'll break these down. But again, the five different types of prayers. Again, this is something that we have, that we learn as we grow in our relationship with the Lord. Because, you know, when I was first saved, I had an idea of prayer because my mom taught me to pray when I was a little boy. She would pray with me every night before bed, and she would have me pray, and she would pray. And it was always, you know, as a little boy, my prayer was always, "Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Watch over me as I sleep. Amen." And my mom's prayer would be a little more in depth than that, all right? But, you know, you learn to pray to the Lord. You learn that you can have a conversation with the Lord, all right? So as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, we should be past, really, I'll call it kindergarten prayer. Because in kindergarten, you're learning how to do things, all right? But again, even as we've been praying, and you've been praying for many years, talking to the Lord, yet we still want to continue to build upon that relationship. We don't want to lose sight of it because we realize the older that we get, life is busy. We just have lots of things to do in a day. We have our normal routine, then we have things that just arise that we weren't expecting. We find ourselves very busy throughout the day, and that's why it's important that we start the day in prayer. That's why it's important we pray throughout the day, as the psalmist says, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray. The Bible even tells us that Daniel prayed three times a day as well. But again, the first type of prayer, though, is praise and thanksgiving. That's the first type, and that is really how our prayers are to start off with, is praising God and worshiping God. All right, praise and thanksgiving is the first type of prayer, and it is the primary way that we give daily adoration and worship to God. God wants us to worship Him. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Again, it is an essential part. Worshiping and praising God is an essential part of our relationship with God, because God wants us to give our entire heart to Him through our love. Matthew 22, 37, Jesus says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." How do we do that? How can I love God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind? How can I give God all of me the way that He wants? It's through praise and worship. It's through praise and worship, thanking Him, thanksgiving. Clearly, I mean, again, this verse teaches us. It tells us that we ought to have a consistent practice of daily praise and thanksgiving. Church is not the only place. When we come together on a Sunday, on a Wednesday, we are coming together to worship God. And we worship Him through the songs that we sing. We worship Him through the tithes and offerings that we give to Him. But this is not the only place that we are to worship Him. We are to worship Him every day and through our prayers. Before we ask Him for anything, we should worship Him. We should praise Him. We should thank Him for what He's already done for us. So again, the first type of prayer is the prayer of praise, thanksgiving, and worshiping. Let's look at some verses. Go to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Psalm 100, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. Again, prayer, a prayer life is something we have to develop. It does not come naturally. Because again, we are praying, we're talking to somebody, we're worshiping somebody, we're praising someone we cannot physically see with our eyes. We know He's there. We know that God is alive. We know that we're not praying or worshiping some statue. We're not worshiping nature as some people do. We're not worshiping the creature, but we're worshiping the Creator. And it is something that is to be developed, and you probably have already developed that type of relationship with the Lord. But sometimes we do forget to worship him. We forget to praise him through our prayers. In Psalm 100, look at verse 1 through 5, the Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." When was the last time you sung to the Lord in your prayer time? Again, we sing in church. We sing together as a congregation. But when was the last time you just on your own personally singing to the Lord? Because that is it's part of worshiping. It's part of praising. It is part of our prayer life. Just even this morning, coming over to church to turn things on and going back home, there again, I know I've told you guys this before, but there are some scriptures that I know how to sing because we've sing them here, scripture songs, and it's just certain songs that come to my mind that I just start singing to the Lord. You know, I'm talking to him and I just start singing to him and then I'm talking to him some more. And because you know what? It's true. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. When you have that type of relationship with the Lord, you can't help but to sing songs that you know while you're talking to the Lord. It's another form, again, of worshiping and praising God. Verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." Again, that speaks of coming into his presence, not just into a building, but into the presence of God, whether you're at home, whether, you know, you're at work, whatever you're doing, you know, as you're coming to the Lord in prayer, you're talking to the Lord, we have to remind ourselves we're coming into the presence of the Lord. "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Again, just in that chapter of Psalms, I mean, we just see that, you know what? I may be heavy-hearted because of what's going on in my life, but I should come to the Lord with thanksgiving and praise. I should come to the Lord with joy because, you know what? I know I'm coming to the one who knows my needs before I say a word. I'm coming to the one who knows how I feel right now, but yet I'm choosing to praise him. I'm choosing to worship him before I pour out my complaint to him, before I ask for anything from him. I'm giving him what's due unto him, and that is worship, and that is praise. Look at Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. This is a verse that we can sing to the Lord. And it's one that I often sing to the Lord because it just reminds me that, you know what, regardless of what's going on in my life or my day, God still deserves for me to worship him. I was created and you were created to worship God. In the springtime, you hear the birds chirping in the morning. I mean, they're singing to the Lord. God's given them something to worship him for because, again, God feeds them. He feeds the animals, but the animals don't have a relationship with God like we do. And in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Thou art worthy. God is worthy of our glory and our praise and our worship. He's worthy of us to come. Okay, you have a heavy heart. But still, and again, it's something that we have to learn. It's something that we have to practice, coming to the Lord with praise and worship. Coming to the Lord with a joyful heart. Entering into his gates, as the Bible says, with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Again, it's a form of worshiping God because we know, again, God's given me the privilege to come before him. God's given me the privilege to come before the throne of grace to find grace in the time of need. And God always does. He will always help us. But again, our first focus is to worship him for who he is and what he deserves, and that is our praise. Go back to Psalm 50, Psalm chapter 50, and look at verse 23. Psalm 50 in verse 23. So Psalm 50 and verse 23, the psalmist says, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me," speaking of God, "and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me." God is glorified through our praise. Go back to Psalm 22, Psalm chapter 22. And verse 3. You know what? Even back up to verse 1. I don't know if you've ever felt this way before. Now, I know verse 1 is prophetic. Jesus cried this out on the cross of Calvary. When God turned his back upon Jesus because God had poured all of sin upon his sacrifice, upon Jesus, and Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All right. But has there ever been a time in your life where you felt like God had forsaken you because of whatever was going on in your life and you just had bought into the lie that the devil had planted in your head or my head that, you know what? God's not hearing you, and you kind of felt alone. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Now, there's been times in my life where I felt like I was so far away from God that he wasn't hearing me. Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But verse 3, but doesn't matter how I feel. Doesn't matter what I think, the truth is God is there and God does see and God does hear, but thou art holy. It means God doesn't do anything wrong. He never goes back on his word. He's always there to comfort. He's always there to guide. He's always there to teach. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, or the praises of God's people, remembering that God inhabits the praises. That's why it's important that we praise God first before, again, we offer up our petitions or we cry with our complaints, whatever it may be. Always giving praise to the Lord first. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. And all throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, we just see that God is worthy of our praise. And it is the first type of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Last place on this topic, look at Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. So Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. The Bible says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise." The fact is that God considers our praise a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. We're giving God what he wants, and he considers it a sacrifice on our part. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." So God's very clear on what praise is. It is from our own lips, because it's what's in our heart. Because our heart is filled with gratitude, it's filled with joy to the one who's given us life, to the one who we know as we come before him, He already knows what we need. He already has the wisdom to give us. He already has the answer that we seek. And because we come with a joyful heart, we come with a heart full of gratitude, and it comes out of our lips, the praise and worship that He desires and deserves, we know that we will get what we need from the Lord. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So again, the first type of prayer is praise and thanksgiving, a form of worshiping God. The second type of prayer is confession. Confessing what is wrong in our life to the Lord before we ask the Lord for anything. And these five types of prayer, they are to be done in this order. We are to learn how to worship God first in prayer, confess whatever needs to be confessed, because we know in Psalm 66, verse 18, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Why are we coming to God in prayer? Because we want Him to hear us. We want Him to answer our petition. We want to have that fellowship with Him. But if I'm regarding iniquity in my heart, and that means if there's something I just refuse to get right, whether I'm mad at somebody and you know what, they don't deserve my forgiveness, God's not going to hear our prayer, because we're holding on to a grudge, we're holding on to unforgiveness when we've been forgiven. The scripture tells us that we are to forgive others because we have been forgiven because of Jesus Christ. Again, confession is very important. It is the way that we receive forgiveness from the Lord and maintain a spirit-filled life. Again, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, and that's not what we want. We want the Lord to hear us, and we cannot assume that God will. You know what? When you and I may not even go to prayer with anything on our mind that we think is wrong. But you know what happens when we spend time worshiping God first and praising Him? We're in the light. We're in His light. He's already searching our heart. The Holy Spirit's already bringing to our mind things that are a problem, things that are an issue, things that we do need to admit that was wrong, and ask the Lord's forgiveness so that doesn't hinder our prayers. So again, when you think about prayer and you think about worshiping God first and you're focused on praising Him, it's another way to bring up anything we've forgotten about, anything that we have suppressed down, like, you know what, I'm not going to deal with that. You know what, I'll just sweep it under the rug. You can't sweep problems under the rug and expect them not to be there. Sometimes my little girls put things under the rug. You can't see them looking at the rug, but when you step on the rug, and there's been some times I've stepped and, oh, what is that? Because it's real, pointed. All right? You've got to take care of it. You've got to put it away. You have to give it to the Lord. And here's the answer to Psalm 66:18. Look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 are the answer to Psalm 66:18. Again, Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And that's nothing any of us desire. We desire the Lord to hear us. And the Lord desires for us to hear His voice and to have that sweet fellowship with Him. In Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, the psalmist reminds us, as even he's crying out to God, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So the way to get our prayers heard before they're answered is to be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, if there's anything in my heart that's between me and You, If there's anything in my heart that's not right, Lord, would you search my heart? Lord, would you try my thoughts? Lord, if I have the wrong thinking. Because again, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of our heart should be, again, worship and praise to God. But if we find ourselves having difficulty in worshiping and praising God, it might be because there's something in our heart that's not right. I want you, keep a place here, but go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is written by David after he committed adultery with Bathsheba, after he ordered the death of her husband. He's the one that ordered the death. He did not with his own bare hands kill him, but being the king, being the commander-in-chief, he ordered his execution by having him. They're in the battle. Remember David, he stayed home from the battle when kings were supposed to go out in the battle, and David stayed home, which got himself in trouble, not being where he was supposed to be. And he caused Uriah to be sent into the hottest part of the battle. And then David ordered his men, he ordered Joab, who is his general, once you're in the heat of the battle, I want you to retreat, basically without Uriah knowing it, just kind of slowly back up and let the enemy surround him and kill him. You know, that's what happened. But you know what? It never goes right with the child of God that purposely chooses to do wrong. What is David known as? David is known as a man after God's own heart. He had a great relationship with God, but he allowed himself to not be where he should have been. It caused him problems. It caused him temptation that he gave in to. Then because Bathsheba was pregnant, he had to try to cover that up, and it just didn't work, so the only thing he knew to do was to have Uriah killed, never thinking about his relationship with God, never thinking about how are my actions going to affect my relationship with God. He had a great relationship with God, so he wasn't even thinking about it because he had sinned against God. His only focus was trying to cover up his sin instead of trying to make it right with God. But Psalm 51 is written after his sin with Bathsheba, after his sin of having Uriah killed, after Nathan the prophet comes to him pointing the finger in his face and saying, thou art the man, because he gave him the story of a rich man stealing a poor man's lamb, and that's all he had. Though the rich man, he had his own sheep, yet he didn't want to take his own sheep and give it to a friend that had come to him. He steals a poor man's lamb, and Nathan is telling the story to David, and David, when you read in Scripture, David gets very angry and wants to know, who's the rich man? I want to kill him. Again, David has so much anger in his heart and so much bitterness in his heart that now he wants to kill somebody else because he thinks, you know, well, that's not right. The rich man took the poor man's. I mean, he wants, you know, he knows it's wrong, but yet he still isn't thinking clearly. But when he says, who is he? I'm going to kill him. And I can just picture Nathan pointing his finger at David and saying, you're it. You're the rich man who took some other man's wife. You're the rich man who took some other man's wife and then you killed him. And David broke down. David broke down. David ends up writing Psalm 51, praise the Lord, because of repentance. He repented. It wasn't going too well for him. He didn't have that relationship with God. God wasn't speaking to him. But it's an amazing thing, before I even read Psalm 51, God always comes to you and me to give us an opportunity to make things right. He did it with King Saul. God would speak to King Saul through Samuel, trying to give him opportunity, you know, to repent from his wrong actions, but Saul just kept blaming the people. Well, the people. You know, eventually God stopped talking, and God wouldn't talk to Saul for the rest of his life at all. Psalm 51, though, you're there, let's look at it. Psalm 51, because again, a lot of David's prayers are written down for us, all right? It's something that's not taught in schools anymore, you know, to keep a diary, keep a journal, and write down your thoughts, write down your days. I know my wife does that, and it's something that doesn't come naturally, something you got to kind of have to work at, all right? But David, all the Psalms that David wrote, I mean, those were his thoughts. A lot of the songs, those are his thoughts. This one is in his heart. In Psalm 51, David here says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." So he's crying out to God, but you know what? He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." So, I mean, he knows that God is loving kindness. "According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Again, in this psalm, he doesn't name Bathsheba. He doesn't name Uriah, all right? But he is asking for forgiveness. He's asking for cleansing. He's asking for God to be merciful. And he is putting his faith and trust in the loving kindness of God. Verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." David will always remember what he did, because he ends up taking Bathsheba as his wife, so guess what? He's always going to know, "I killed your husband." Now he can have the peace from God knowing that he's asked for forgiveness, he can do things right from this moment forward. He can't go back and change what he did. All right, but again, he says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." He just speaks about the sin nature. Not that his mother was a harlot or anything, but he knows that I'm a sinner. I was born a sinner. My parents are sinners. You know, we're all sinners. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou," speaking of God, "desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." He says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Before the prophet Nathan came to David, David was not rejoicing. His joy had left. The joy of thy salvation had left David's heart and his mind. He was being tormented by his own thoughts, being tormented by what he had done. The guilt was eating him up. And he says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness." He wants to hear the joy and gladness of the Lord again, "that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." He understands that God was dealing with him. Because you know what? One of the worst things for us is not to hear the voice of God. That's the worst punishment. When I was growing up, there was a few times I got spankings. I would rather take a spanking than be grounded and not be able to go play with my friends. Now, I didn't like the spankings, but I understand the sting of the belt wears off very quickly. I say very quickly, it may be an hour. But I'm just saying, you get over it. But many times I would be grounded for an entire week. 7 days you can't go outside and play with your friends. That hurt worse because I wanted to be around my friends. I wanted to go outside and play. So think about God. What's going to hurt worse? God not speaking and you not feeling the presence of God in your life? And he said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he's not going to leave you nor forsake you, but he will. He does chastise his children, all right? And the worst is not to feel his presence. That's why Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus felt the presence of God leave. And I don't understand that. I don't understand how that happened. But I believe it did. And Jesus experienced the Father turning his back, and Jesus cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Not once did Jesus complain about being scourged. He didn't complain about his beard being ripped out. He didn't complain about being mistreated, being lied about, being stabbed in the back by Judas. He didn't complain about any of that, but when it came to God's presence, he complained, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? David wasn't thinking about the presence of God when he made his bad decisions. When he made those choices that were totally against God, he wasn't thinking about his relationship, but he did find out, you know what? Lord, make me to hear joy and gladness again, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out mine iniquities. In verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Then he says, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Again, when we don't confess to God, and again, we can never minimize sin. The definition of sin is anything contrary to God. Sometimes people will try to minimize their sin. They'll give an excuse. Well, that's not really wrong. Well, it is wrong if it is against God and God's nature. Because God is a holy God, and the Bible does tell us, be holy, for I am holy. So as God's children, we are to be living, walking in the Spirit, as the Bible tells us. We are to be Christ-like in all of our actions, our speech, our thinking. And while we are worshiping God at the beginning of our prayer, the Holy Spirit will be searching our heart, and we should have the same mindset. Lord, show me if there's anything wrong in my heart. I don't want anything between me and you. And it may be that, you know what, you kick the chicken. You kick the rooster, you know. It may just be, you know what, you got mad at something, all right? In our eyes, it may seem insignificant, but to God, it is significant because, again, God knows that our hearts can be either led away from him or drawn to him. Our relationship is very important to the Lord. Our prayer life is very important to the Lord. And it's important to us as well. We just have to be mindful and say, Lord, search my heart. And you know what? God will always find something. There has been times where I personally said, Lord, I can't think of anything. But Lord, and I even would cringe and even search my heart. Knowing he's going to find something, because just because I can't think of it doesn't mean it's not there. Because why? We're sinners, saved by grace. All right, it's not that we're purposely going out and sinning, but again, there's things we do that we don't think, you know, is a big deal. And those things that we do that are wrong, that we don't think are a big deal, they pile up when we don't deal with them, when we don't confess them, we don't ask God to forgive us. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Again, the importance of confession in our prayers. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Have you ever had the thought, Lord, why is this not being helped? Why are you not helping me in this area? Why is this not changing? Why does it seem like I am constantly hitting the same brick wall? It might be because 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 needs to come to our mind as it says, God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Humble ourselves, meaning we're coming before God knowing he knows anything that we might be hiding. He knows anything in our heart that maybe we forgot about. He knows where the breakdown is in our part of the relationship with God. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God says he will. He'll forgive and he will heal. But again, that's, again, coming to God and asking the Lord, Lord, search me. And even the Holy Spirit, God's given us the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us, to teach us, to comfort us. But sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, hey, there's something that needs to be made right. You're having this struggle. You're hitting the same brick wall because there's something over here God's been trying to get you to let go of. You're not trusting the Lord. One of the big things that will keep us from hearing God's voice and keep our prayers from being heard by God is unbelief. Unbelief. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And faith is believing in the one that knows you, sees you, can help you. And just sometimes we have that where I know he can, I just don't know if he will. Well, that's unbelief. I mean, you can't, you know, God knows my heart. He does, but we have to by faith, Lord, I'm sorry for not having full confidence that you will do this. Because I know you can. There's nothing impossible. And sometimes if we find where something just is not in our life being fixed, it may be because we haven't fully come to the Lord and fully allowed him to search us, show us what's wrong in our life. Because remember, he predestinated us to be conformed to the image of Christ. He begun the good work in us, and the Bible says he'll finish that good work. You know what? We have to be the living sacrifice that says, Lord, here am I. We have to be honest and say, Lord, I messed up. David obviously was given that opportunity by God, and thankfully, David did not make the same mistake that King Saul made. Thankfully, David said, you're right. He admitted to it. He says, I can't keep running from this. I can't keep hiding from this. Because he understood he wanted that relationship back that he had with the Lord. Last place, look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. And I really don't want to go very quickly through the importance of prayer, the different types of prayer, because, again, prayer is very important to God. It's our form of communication with God. It's us, again, being able to talk to the Lord, being able to spend some time in his presence, for God to even continue working in us. I don't know. Every time you get up and walk away from your time in prayer, there should be some joy in your heart. You should have some type of emotion, some type of feeling, some type of thought that, you know what, I didn't feel too good when I first went to the Lord because of heaviness and stuff, but you know what, I'm walking away, I feel much lighter. I feel like, you know what, somebody was actually listening. Because you ever talked to someone that wasn't listening and when you got done, you still felt heavy because they weren't listening? Well, the Lord always listens. And that's a good feeling to walk away knowing that, you know what? I know that God's going to help me. I know that everything's going to be okay. Matthew 5, 23, Jesus says, therefore, Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Just another form of where it may be, you know, there's something between you and somebody else, and God brings it to your mind in prayer. And again, notice, and there remembers that thy brother hath aught, not that you have a problem, but maybe someone has an issue. And God says, hey, go try to rectify that. Go try to, you know, make it right with them. All right? Now, it's talking about thy brother, another fellow believer in Christ. I know that I've given the example of two men in another church. This is a true account where one man did not think it was right that somebody else in the church filed bankruptcy. The one man didn't believe in that. You shouldn't be filing bankruptcy. It's your debt. You need to pay it. Okay, well, the one that filed bankruptcy, he felt fine about it. But the one who didn't feel fine about it kept the newspaper clipping, because in smaller towns, they list people, you know, who get speeding tickets and stuff. And, well, you know, his name was listed. He filed bankruptcy. And the one who disagreed with it kept the newspaper clipping in his wallet till the day he died. And when the new pastor came in, he made sure the new pastor knew about this other person, showed him the newspaper clipping. Who's eaten up? The one that filed bankruptcy, he feels fine. He's not convicted by it. I mean, he doesn't feel guilty. So why should I allow myself to be eaten up on the inside because somebody else made their own decision? Okay. So I'm saying, I mean, you got this. So, you know, I don't know if they ever tried to rectify, if you know, or whatever. But again, not everyone is going to agree with decisions that we make. But among in God's family, if we know of somebody that maybe, you know, they're upset. Okay, the Bible does still say, live peaceably with all men as much as lies within you. So again, God brings to my mind someone that's upset with me for whatever reason. Okay. Is there anything I can do to help you not be upset with me? And kind of, you know, explain, you know, what, again, whatever the case may be, explain to them, you know, whatever. If they still refuse, no, okay, no, I'm sorry, then you're going to have to just take it up with God, you know. So it's our effort, at least we tried, all right. Or sometimes, you know, the person just needs to hear our side of it, and then, you know, oh, okay, well, I didn't know that. Because, you know, sometimes people make their decisions before they even know what the story is. This is just the way people are. People, you know, they hear from somebody else, therefore they make their decision without going to what we always say. You know, I forget the phrase. Hear from the horse's mouth or something. Always go to the person. Don't take someone else's word for it, all right? But again, confession, making sure that we worship God through our prayers, making sure that we confess whatever the Lord brings to our mind, because we want that relationship with the Lord, all right? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you again for just the privilege that you've given us to be able to worship you in our prayers, to be able to confess to you, Lord. Father, thank you for just the fact we have a relationship with you and that you want to communicate with us, and we can have that conversation back and forth with you. Thank you for that special relationship that you've given every single one of your children. Father, I ask that you would continue to guide and direct, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, we got about 5 minutes.